Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Sermon. My name is Scott Allen.
And I'm Russell Franz.
And we are back from a two-week hiatus, and today we talk about leadership. Exciting conversation, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that we, in this political season, there is a lot of great examples of what it means to be a leader in our country.
Yes, yes.
And so, anything stand out to you about the sermon yesterday?
Yeah, just really the differences in leadership styles between, I think, this highly business-oriented world that we live in and the leadership style of Jesus. I'm not sure if people would really, if his way of leadership translates well. And I think that's what makes it so difficult.
So that was
a big point to me.
I know, I grew up in the Baptist world. And they operate a little differently than Church of Christ. You know, the Baptists have a deacon board. Mm-hmm. They have deacons, you know, and Church of Christ have, they have deacons, but they also have elders. And the elders are really, that's kind of the board of directors, right? That's the one who really makes some of the key decisions. Well, I thought it was always interesting growing up that the deacons met, and some of them didn't really have any other job except for the fact that they met as a business group. Mm-hmm. To decide, you know, where the money was spent,
mm-hmm.
Whether or not to fire the preacher, mm-hmm. whatever that looked like. That's why they met.
Right.
And the elders here, it's just a little different. But I've always found it interesting that when they're looking for these leaders, typically what they look for is somebody who's successful in business.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what we think. If you can run a good business or make money or manage people, then you can obviously, I don't know how to say this, run a church. But yet, as we read scripture, we see something completely different. In fact, we see the people who Jesus picked is probably, you know, the guys in the mail room are starting this Jesus movement, where we would think of probably Jesus should probably be picking the best of the best.
Yeah, shouldn't he have started with the executives first?
Yeah, you think the guys who ran the temple the best would be the ones he would pick, but instead Jesus kind of takes a different approach and uses the people that you would never think of, probably with skills that aren't built to grow a movement, and yet somehow with what Jesus does, it grows a movement. So
now this is kind of delicate conversation because
because
a lot of people, some who may be listening to this, have experienced churches that have probably, I don't know, I would say that a lot of issues have arisen because there have been a lot of strong driver business personalities, mm-hmm. around that leadership table, mm-hmm. and so the hard thing to get around is to think, okay, what is the leader in the church really there for?
Right.
Is it there to make good, sound financial decisions, business decisions? Is it for, I don't know, for vision to make sure that the church survives?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, you know, so in your opinion, what is a leader of a church really there to do? That was a big sigh. What's up? Yeah, you should know this.
I think we want to say the leader of the church is the person who is willing to give themselves up and is willing to give their motives and their desires for the church up to the motives of God and the Holy Spirit and the workings. And there's this trust that they're the ones who are not so much actively pushing, but more trying to be pushed and nudged by the Holy Spirit to see what's happening in the lives of the people, in the lives of the community. And I think instead it's not an indictment on anybody. It's just, I think the opposite is what occurs. We say this worked well in business, or this is how you manage people, so this is how we do it here. And if we do it here and it goes forward, then God is blessed. And I'm not sure that's what God is intending for us to do. So
Yeah, is a leader there just so that we can be successful? Is it to help a church find success?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I see a leader of the church as somebody who is constantly on their knees and even willing to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's when we really see leadership, the leader that's willing to give themselves up to God and the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit needs to do.
I know that some churches, they reserve leadership positions for primarily men.
Right.
Some churches are more egalitarian. They have more men and women. You know, but something that I've noticed, regardless of where you fall in that spectrum, you know, that's not really our conversation. But what I have noticed over the past, I would say, decade or two, is that there has been a growing absence of strong male leadership across mm-hmm. the board.
Yeah.
And we see it. We see it throughout our culture. Well, hang on a second. Let me just say, in churches, I've seen a lack of male leadership. I don't see a lack of male leadership in the world at all.
Right.
But in churches, I do. And so I wonder, you know, what has contributed to that? Is it because we haven't encouraged them enough? Is it because
I don't know. I think we've made it hard. I think we've when you relegate, I don't want to say that, but when the characteristics of a leader in the church is narrowed down or thought of in this way of power broker, CEO, business manager, I mean, you're narrowing down. And even more than that, when it gets incredibly, when you look up and see your leaders and they're exhausted and they're tired and they're beat down, I mean, who wants to be a part of that? You know, I think that's just, we put that in the minds of so many people, male especially, but male and female, that like nobody wants to take a leadership role because they're afraid of losing friends. They're afraid of just losing hours to family, all of these different things. So I think all of that has contributed maybe to this idea that, and maybe it's a whole, this idea of it's only for a select few. And so, I mean,
so
I don't know.
Do you think that the bar do you think it's raised too high, or do you think the bar is in the wrong place, period?
Yes. I think in some ways it's been raised too high. Because there's some men and people who have just kind of said, I can't do it. And then I think it's been put in the wrong place. So I think it's both.
Because you have some good, strong managers. You've got some powerful personalities in mm-hmm. churches. And those are usually the ones that are noticed and that people see. You have one guy over here who may not be, he may work at a, I don't know, at a services company, just doing middle level
mm-hmm.
work, mm-hmm. But the guy is really good at connecting with people and meeting people, and relating with, and I think those are not the people we typically look for, but those are the ones who I think should be leading.
Yeah, no, I agree, but we don't encourage them.
But there again, what are they leading? Where are they leading us? It's like I ask conservatives, what exactly are you conserving?
Right.
And liberals, what exactly are you trying to liberate?
Right.
You know, so with this idea, what exactly are you leading these people to?
You know, I mean, that's a good question. I just see the person you were, the example you gave. I mean, that person is, hopefully, you would think, while they're not big and brash, they're also leading the community in a way of prayer, in a way of seeing each other differently, in a way of connecting in ways that the church never has. While they may not, while we think big, bold, and bright, I think big, bold, yeah, and bright, and we want to see this and look at what we're doing, I think there's beauty in just knowing that you're being led without even realizing you're being led. And it's not done by the person and their personality. It's being done by the personality of the Holy Spirit, which is something we don't like, because I think when it all boils down to is when we want people who are in control. Control is a big thing. And The person you're talking about is a person who probably would give up control.
Yeah.
And I don't think we want that. In all honesty, I don't think we want that in a leader. I want a leader who can take the reins and tell us where to go.
There's two passages that I think speak directly to this. And one of them was read yesterday in the sermon. By the way, if you haven't heard the sermon, just go online. You can subscribe to the podcast, Grapevine Church podcast. And there's the sermons there as well as the Behind the Sermon series. But in Mark chapter 10, it says, Mark chapter 10, verse 42, it says, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else." We're not talking about this word slave is in the NLT, and I like that because slaves had absolutely no rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so to say that I'm going to be a slave of everyone else, I'm not going to demand my rights or use my power to coerce, manipulate, or control. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." Peter also talks in his in 1 Peter chapter 5. He's talking to the elders, and one thing he says is he's saying, "Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. And don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example." And so I wonder if when it comes right down to it, if leading others is really all about just living the life of Jesus. It's not telling people to do this or that, but it's showing them and it's encouraging them. It's walking alongside of them. What do you think?
I think so. I think you hit it on the head. I think it's maybe we've been looking at the wrong places for our leaders. You know, maybe there is something to, and I do think you need the personalities that are good at managing people and managing groups. But I think we've also looked in the wrong places, and because of that, we've lost out on listening to people and hearing people. And hearing their stories and hearing what their fears really are, not just, you know. And so I think we've only looked in one direction. And I think what Jesus is telling us is we need to be attentive to all of our people.
Yeah.
Whether they are the highest of highs when it comes to leadership or the lowest of lows, but we look at them and say, you know, that there's something about that person. They know how to do, they can just do this and be willing to be open to, I think Jesus has an idea that leadership is going to look vastly different and it's going to look very diverse.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we've struggled. Does our leadership capture the community that we live in? You know?
Yeah.
Is it? And I think maybe that's it, but yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, in a culture that is increasingly anti-male, anti-man,
yeah,
with all this, porn is around every website, you know, this whole Ashley Madison debacle, 32 million men. That's crazy. It's almost 10% of our male population, right? Probably more than that. And granted, it's not surprising, but it does show that I think that there's been a lack of intentional spiritual men and women leading. You know, we have shootings and we've got crime, we've got riots, you know, we have things going on all over the place. And
right. And
I wonder what it would look like if instead of trying to tell people what to do, we showed them how to do it. And we just were intentional about looking people in the eye and saying, "Hey, if you want to know what it means to have life, watch me."
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that right there is a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that's someone who's willing to say, "Listen, I'm going to forego everything that I want and hold dear, those rights that I desire, and instead I'm going to live my life so that you can see what it's supposed to look like."
And saying that, I think one of the hardest things though is, and one of the things we don't have time for is modeling for people, having someone else come alongside of us.
Yeah.
I think we see that as time consuming.
And once again, if you have not heard the sermon, please log on to our website, grapevinechurch.com, or find us on iTunes. And we talk, you know, in the sermon really primarily about spiritual leadership versus natural leadership. And I think it's been a good conversation. So thanks, Russell.
Yep.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Well, God be with you, and we will see you next week.